What's up, everybody? This week on Inside the Pocket, we have a bunch of Week 2 preseason NFL recap. We also have some other NFL and college football news. We also have our Wow Stories of the Week, what we would do if we were president, conspiracy theories, some fun debatables, and a new segment called Shower Thoughts, as well as our beer review. As always, we're brought to you by Barrel's Tap House and Grill in O'Fallon, Missouri, and the Vape Store in Lake St. Louis. Let's go. Have a sip of beer.
Hit that vape. Welcome to Inside the Pocket. It's Austin, and with me as always is Gavin.
What's up, guys?
This week we had a pretty fun week, or at least I did. Gavin, what did you do with your week? I want to hear what you had to go before I go ahead and let you know about how mine went.
Well, this week I spent a lot of time working on little fun things for the podcast. We have a new website. It's up. It's got a fucked up link, and I'm not even going to try to say it on the podcast, but we will have it in the notes, as well as you can check our Facebook page or any of our socials for a link to it. I've been writing blogs all week. Never done it before. Never found myself much as a writer, but we want to find other ways to get cool content out for you guys. They'll range from everything to sports news to just random tidbits of knowledge. Austin eventually is going to be putting up vlogs that will be on our YouTube as well as on the website. So it'll kind of be like a hub for people to find all of our content.
I give you props because I can't write for shit. Like, ever since I was in school, like, actually writing papers and stuff, like, even with the podcast, I'm an idea guy. I came up with the idea of it, but I didn't have the stuff to do it, and I didn't know how to, like, go through with doing it. Just like when I would do papers, I was really good at coming up with a story, but, like, doing character development or telling the story, I couldn't do that.
That's a cool thing with blogs, too, because you don't really have to tell a story. You can just give your take. Like, basically, what I would do is sit there, and if you have something like an idea or something, record it on your iPhone and then listen to it and just type it out. Boom, there's a blog.
Yeah, I guess I can do that. Or I can just do a vlog.
And then drop some GIFs on that bitch. But yeah, we're going to have that coming out. We also ordered a bunch new equipment. So we have all the equipment here except for the mics. They won't be here till September. So
yeah. Get ready for better quality.
Yeah, get ready for better quality come September. I'm excited for that. Hopefully by the time the actual NFL season's here, we'll have that.
We also need more listeners because now we're putting a lot more money into this than we're making. So I would like to get more followers so we can maybe start making some money.
Yeah, and then you guys can like interact with our awesome sponsors who have helped us out a ton, and then we can be helping them. And that will continue to allow us to keep these sponsors and possibly get new ones in the future. We're actually going to be talking in the near future with some other people that will be writing possibly blogs for the website,
yep,
as well as coming on the podcast from time to time. This weekend we had the Festival of the Little Hills, a little festival that comes every year to St. Charles, Missouri, near where we live, and it was pretty fun.
Yeah, no, it was a good time overall. I always like seeing all the arts and crafts and all the random bullshit they got there. I didn't buy anything this year. You got some dog treats, though, didn't you?
Yeah, they had a whole thing that was like a bunch of crazy random-ass dog treats that these people made, and they were actually pretty true. Treats. They were good treats.
They were pretty treaty.
They were cheap, and so we made a doggy bag full of fucking dog treats and brought them home, and that way the dogs were pretty stoked when we got back.
Nice. Well, on Friday night, I went out to Old Monroe and went to a bar, and my buddy had this game on his phone called Piccolo.
Yeah.
Have you ever played it?
Haven't.
Okay. Well, what you do is you go on an app, and you choose, the app is called Piccolo.
Yeah.
And you choose a bar or your house or wherever you're at, and it gives you a game, and you can choose like different levels, like crazy, wild, neutral, or calm. And depending on which one you do, it tells you to do stuff. So while we were there, we did bar and wild. And it told, one of the things it told me to do was go to the bathroom and switch my underwear out and put them over my pants and come out of the bathroom. And I had to stay like that until the game told me I could change back. Some of the other things we did was act as a slug for 15 seconds in the middle of the bar.
Just like crawl, belly crawl around the floor.
Belly crawl through the bar. There was also try and find a married woman in the bar. You just have to walk around until you find someone who's married. convince somebody to buy a slide from you, like a playground set.
Yeah.
So it's just like gives you like all these random little topics you have to do, and some of them get like really fucked up depending on like the level of things you do.
Yeah.
And it was a really good time. But talk about the Festival of Little Hills. I saw you there for a little bit.
Yep. We met up towards the end when we were making our way out.
I was having some phone problems, so I couldn't get a hold of anybody when I got there. I walked around aimlessly for an hour like a lost puppy, looking scared in crowds of people.
I thought you were maybe just hitting some strange with an old...
Ye yonder.
Yeah.
Something we'll get to that. but after that is I went to the bars. We went to Thirsty's and Q up on Main Street. And one, I didn't get ID'd at either bar, which I thought was wild.
Because you look like a child.
Yeah, I look like I'm a prepubescent teen. I was expecting to get carded everywhere I go, but I did not. But I got pretty drunk and I danced my dick off and I looked super white. And we found this...
Good for you for not culturally appropriating dance moves.
Oh, no, this is why I did, because we found a gay black man who was a fantastic dancer, and he tried to teach me how to dance.
Nice.
It didn't work out so hot, because I just kind of looked like a flailing horse on a dance floor, and it just wasn't a good time. But you know what is a good time? Are pickle shots. Have you ever had a pickle shot?
I haven't, but I heard.
Oh, my God. It's literally a thing of vodka, and they just pour jars of different flavored pickles into the vodka and let it, like, soak in, like, a giant, like, a margarita mix or container. But it's just pickle juice, pickles, and vodka, and that's the shots you get. And it's, like, four different flavors, and you pick through which flavors you want. When we got there at Thirsty's, I even told Tim, I'm not going to drink a bunch tonight. And he goes, yeah, you are. And he ordered six pickle shots, and me and him both did three right off the bat as soon as we got in there. Just
kicking it off.
Just getting the night started wild. But after that, we ended up going to Q, ran into some familiar people. Not going to get too much into that, but it was a hilarious showing. And I think I drank...
Your night was filled with, like, past love interests and beta boys at some point.
It was. It was, actually. Yeah, there were just a lot of... A lot of past was this weekend. A lot of people I had dealt with in my previous times to now, which is what kind of led me to now, because when I knew those people from the past, I didn't get to do whatever I wanted, and I never got to start my podcast. But
now we're doing it.
Here we are.
Good for you.
Yeah, good for me.
The other thing that I've kind of been up to is right now I'm currently working on the Enterprise Center where the Blues play, and the elevators went down, and I had to walk up and down. There's a lot of steps to a sports arena.
Who would have guessed?
Who would have thought? I had to walk a lot of them. I was pretty much dead by the end of the day.
Did you do it like high knees like you see on like the Gatorade commercials?
Normally I would on a job if I have to get up and down stairs, but I literally walked and down those things so many times that by the end I was just like, don't care.
Kind of sounds like your vagina hurts.
It did. It was dragging. I was dragging it on the floor by the end.
That sounds like a real...
I had to just pick it up and throw it over my shoulder and hoof it on up there.
I couldn't imagine.
Yeah. But yeah, that pretty much... All I really did for the week, I've just been looking forward to doing another podcast. Like I said before, check out our socials and our new website. If you're into sports or you like writing or something like that, hit us up at our email, insidethepocketpodcast@gmail.com. We are looking for other people who might be interested in writing on the blog to help create some funny sports-related topics.
Or really, whatever topic you kind of want to talk about.
Yeah, we're down for anything.
I'm not biased. I mean, we talk about Hitler, and we've talked about conspiracy theories, and we've talked about...
Just fun things.
Yeah, weird stuff.
Anything that you think somebody would take the time out of their day to look into, I'm down with that.
Yep, 100%.
And I take time to look at a lot of weird, fucked up shit.
Now, you take a lot of time looking into some weird, fucked up shit. Let me tell you about some weird, fucked up shit that happened in the NFL this week. Jalen goddamn Ramsey.
Oh, I heard about this.
Feels like he's fucking top dog. Motherfucker's only been in the league for two goddamn years, only has six interceptions to his name, thinks he's a big swinging dick in the NFL, going around saying, Ben Roethlisberger's okay. Josh Rosen was the worst pick of the draft. Andrew Luck is not as good as people think. Fuck you, kid. You have not done anything. Sure, you're a shutdown corner and you're good on your team. That's fine. But keep your fucking mouth shut because you're not an all-star. When people look at you, yeah, you've been to the Pro Bowl a couple of times, and I'll give you that. That's good props being at your age. But you still have a long way to go. To look at people who are going to be in the Hall of Fame eventually, like Ben Roethlisberger, has a good chance of making it there. He's won a couple Super Bowls, has a lot of good years. But to say he's mediocre at best.
And a rape charge.
He also does.
Rape allegation.
Allegedly. But I just think it's so much bullshit that Jalen Ramsey is coming out. Like, it gives a lot for the fans to, like, pull in that there's this much, like, somebody coming out and just saying shit like that. Yeah. But if he has a bad season this year or gets hurt or he's anything like that, he's going to look like a fucking fool. For him to come out and do that, and I hope he has a horrible season. I hope he has the worst season out of anyone. Just because coming off like a douchebag like that, I don't like that. I like players who are respectful and good trash talkers.
Yeah.
I don't like when you come out and just say, yeah, now these people suck.
Yeah. Good trash talk, like, in the game and stuff, or even after a game, be like, yeah, the dude had a shit game or something like that. Or even if you don't like somebody, you're calling people out on something. But to just fucking line them up across the whole NFL and start just bam, 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 yeah, knocking them down. And then the people that it seemed like he did talk up were people not nearly as good as the people he just shit talked.
Right.
But also, like you said, somebody that's only been in the league a couple years and hasn't really done a whole lot to be calling people out. It's one thing for dummies like us to sit on a podcast or watch the football games and call people out, like when we were watching them on Thursday and that guy was out of bounds and caught the ball and he tried to get a flag called on him and I just yelled from across the bar, sorry bud, no flags for being bad at football.
Yeah.
Like, obviously I understand that I'm not a pro athlete.
And we can sit there.
We can sit there and critique one athlete to another, but I'll be the first to admit, like, yeah, I obviously couldn't do any of that shit on the football field. But to be a guy who is on the field, who is performing, and hasn't performed any of the feats like most of the people that he's sitting there tearing down, like you said, kind of makes you come off as bullshit. Maybe spend a couple years collecting some accomplishments before you start calling people out.
Right, and I give it to him, he's made it to the Pro Bowl.
Now maybe he's doing it preemptively. Maybe if he's the next Richard Sherman on steroids, people will be like, man, that dude's been calling people out for years and he just shuts them down. Maybe. Or, like you said, it's not going to happen and he's going to be just a fucking clown.
He'll be remembered for just being an asshole.
Yeah.
Right now everybody's like, ooh, look at the controversy. Look at him bringing it up. He's so wild. But if he does bad, people are gonna be like, yeah, he's just fucking stupid. Yeah. It's not gonna be, look at him, call him out. They're gonna go, look at this fucking dummy.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to start going over some people that weren't dummies over this past preseason. And these are some notable performances. Kind of go right down the line between quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and some of the tight ends that I saw. Didn't cover too much of the defensive people since I'm kind of focusing on people that you might be interested for fantasy.
Mm.
Started off, Nate Sudfeld from the Eagles went 22 of 39 with 312 yards and 3 passing touchdowns.
God damn. And only
one interception. Now, I found this interesting at first because Nick Foles went out of the game with a shoulder aggravation. He ended up getting sacked, and it was right in the middle of a throw. And you could see when he went to throw it, that kind of caught his hand, and it made his shoulder pop.
Yeah.
And he grabbed it immediately and left the game. So it was one of those things, if he ends up being hurt and Wentz isn't ready for week one,
this could be the guy
that could possibly be a starter for week one. But I think since then they have said that Foles is fine. But, I mean, not bad when you're third-string quarterback throwing 300 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, no, that's
not a bad performance. Even though, like you said, this is preseason. I'm sure some of the defensive players on the other side weren't necessarily their top line people, but definitely a good look. Matt Ryan looked great marching down the field on his first possession of the Falcons game, where he went 5 for 7 with 90 yards, capping it off with a 4-yard touchdown to Austin Hooper. I kind of brought that up in the past. Austin Hooper, Matt Ryan spent a lot of time in the postseason just working on things together. Pat Mahomes had a pretty fair performance. He went 8 for 12 with 138 yards, one interception.
I wanted to get in what we were talking about before about Patrick Mahomes, our two different ideas on what we're going to think on him on fantasy.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be between a 15 to 25 point person every week. I don't think he's going to have a single blow up week all season. I don't think he's going to have a game where he scores like 40 points on fantasy. I think his ceiling for fantasy, I'm thinking, is like 25. But he'll get there a few times.
Yeah, and I'm actually on the other side of the boat. I think he's going to be a consistent, like, 10 to 15 point quarterback with the occasional 30 to 40 point game, because even in this game, you saw an amazing play where he threw the ball over 36 yards in the air for a 70-yard passing touchdown, which has only been done one other time by Aaron Rodgers. So the dude has a fucking cannon on him, and he can unload.
Now, you mean 63 yards,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 63, not 36. I fucked
dyslexic
that.
Asshole.
Yeah, whatever. But Pat Mahomes, definitely, I feel like he has that break or bust potential throughout the season. But we'll just have to see. He's somebody that is going to be the starting quarterback once the season comes around. So you'll have to see those first couple weeks. But you'll be drafting him before those first couple weeks. So that's something to take into consideration when you're picking your quarterbacks. Sam Bradford and Josh Rosen for the Cardinals did well. Sam went a perfect 6 for 6 with 61 yards, while Rosen went a very still impressive 10 for 16 with one touchdown and 107 yards. Do you at this point still think that Bradford has the starting position, or do you think Rosen possibly will? Who do you really think realistically is going to start that? Because I feel like that's still a close debate for the Cardinals.
I think Sam Bradford's going to start at the beginning.
And I do too, simply because of that experience, kind of the same situation that you find Tyrod Taylor and Baker
Mayfield. And you saw him do real good with the Vikings when he was actually there, when he was healthy and playing.
Before he got hurt.
He did really well.
And I think it's one of those things that you start him. He has the experience. He is a good quarterback, but it's one of those things that, well, we're just going to start him, and if he does get hurt like he has a reputation for, we got Rosen ready to go.
Right.
Let Rosen have his least amount of pressure on him in his first year as possible.
Yeah.
Teddy Bridgewater and Sam Darnold, the Jets, they both had a decent showing, with Teddy Bridgewater going 10 for 15 with 127 yards, one touchdown, one interception, while Darnold went 8 for 11 for only 62 yards, but he also had an interception and no touchdown. I think Teddy Bridgewater is going to be the quarterback to go with for the Jets right now. Same situation. Let some of these guys have a couple years. It seems like so recently that it's been a habit of just throwing these first-round quarterbacks into the fucking starting position when
you throw them in with the wolves.
A lot of the all-time greats just waited or just took backup positions until they had to step up.
Aaron Rodgers behind Brett Favre.
Tom Brady, Kurt Warner, all these people were people that stepped up when the time was right. They weren't just thrust under the gun as soon as they came out of the draft class their rookie year. DeShone Kizer for Green Bay did very well, going 7 of 12 for 149 yards with two touchdowns and no interceptions. Brett Hundley didn't look bad either and had a nice rushing touchdown.
Go Green Bay.
Go Green Bay. Not bad. The Lions and Jake Rudock. Yeah, Rudock.
Riddick?
No, Riddick? I think it's Rudock.
Is it Rudock?
Jacob Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer goes 23 for 30 for 171 yards, which seems like a lot of attempts to get that many yards, but hey, getting it done is getting it done.
Well, you're in a passing league. You're going to throw the ball quite a few times, getting somebody in there and getting them used to that
many reps. There's nothing wrong with the team that just sits there and does the short pass, gets the job done, which is a little different because you're thinking about Matt Stafford, who's been on the Lions. They're a pretty aired out kind of team normally because they're always down in the fourth quarter. But
yikes.
Yeah, not bad for him. Josh Allen goes 9 for 13 for 60 yards and had a nice touchdown to show good inside the pocket composure.
Ooh.
See what I did there?
Ooh. I liked it. The name is in there.
Oh, yeah.
That was nice.
Yeah. For people who haven't figured that out yet. But it's also interesting because Josh Allen might potentially be the starter at week one, because now that AJ McCarron has went down,
it's a hairline fracture.
Hairline fracture on the right side of his collarbone, the throwing side of the collarbone. So that definitely takes it down to a 2-man race for the starting position in Buffalo. As far as running backs this week, Christian McCaffrey showed some amazing jets when he busted out a 71-yard run for a touchdown, totaling 92 on only 5 touches. David Johnson looks like he's back. He only rushed 6 times for 22 yards and 1 touchdown, and while that wasn't the most yards, he looked very explosive, carrying multiple people on top of him to that touchdown that he had. Carlos Hyde gathered 64 yards on 9 rushes, while Chubb picked up 53 yards on 11 carries for Cleveland. This could possibly be another one of these great duos that you see, similar to the Falcons or the Saints. but it kind of sounded like the Browns weren't going to go that direction and basically give Hyde the majority of the touches and kind of keep Chubb fresh just in case he goes down, which I don't know how I feel about that. I feel like as far as fantasy goes, having a single back is definitely good, but if it comes down to being a fan of the team, having that dual, or even in fantasy, it's not bad when it's a split running back core and they're both putting up massive numbers on it. Right. In a single game. When you have both, there were times where I had one league where I had Freeman and Coleman. I had another league where I had Kamara and Ingram. And there were times where between the two of them, they'd have like 48 points.
Right.
In one game.
And it's not bad if you get somewhere where, like, if you don't happen to get both backs, but you split with someone.
Yeah.
I mean, say you're facing somebody who has Freeman or Coleman. Well, Freeman might run down the ball all the way down the field on you, but then they give to Coleman and Coleman gets a touchdown. And so they might get the points.
And we actually had that situation.
We did. Day. Yeah, that's why I bring
Coleman
it up.
And I had Freeman. But look at that reference. Jake Camaro helped Kaiser with his stat line by picking up 141 yards on only three receptions in that Green Bay game. Not bad for a preseason game, picking up 114 yards by yourself. Juju had another single reception touchdown. I feel great watching this dude, but it seems like in the preseason, they've just been like, hey, go make a one-play touchdown and then call it a day.
Yeah.
And that's what he does. Tariq Hill also picked up 87 yards on four catches. While most of that came by the 70-yard bomb by Mahomes, Tariq Hill's definitely, I feel like, in for another good year.
Dude, I love Tariq Hill. He's just a guy I like. When I saw him originally, he was just a player that I was like, this dude's going to be someone. And someone who actually reminds me of him a lot is Will Fuller.
Yeah.
For the Texans. Having Deshaun Watson come back, Will Fuller is on my radar for fantasy, definitely.
Yeah.
He's just a guy that if you give him the right players on his team, he is a weapon. But whenever your quarterback goes down and you're limited and they're going to throw it to the number one as frequently as possible and it kind of eliminates your part of the play. But Deshaun Watson and Will Fuller had such good chemistry, he was a weapon. And that's what I think you're going to see from Mahomes and Tyreek Hill. I think they're going to have that same type of chemistry, being a speed guy and a guy who's going to throw that ball downfield hard.
I think so. And you would find even in the past when teams had those double wide receiver threats, I mean, look at Moss and Carter, Terry Holt and fucking Isaac Bruce.
Harrison and Reggie Wayne.
Yeah, you have these teams that have two number one wide receivers on the team.
Yeah.
Makes it kind of fucking hard to cover. Potentially, even teams like Cleveland this year will have Josh Gordon's coming back. You have Landry, potentially Dez Bryant, potentially ODB. I mean, holy fuck.
Yeah. The names, I think just the ODB thing will be this year.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, but I could see a Dez Bryant deal. They said that he did not get a deal done when he was there in Cleveland this past week, but they have continued discussions over the phone. My boy Calvin Ridley showed some great possession awareness as he picked up 49 yards on three catches and a touchdown.
Your boy, you're calling him your boy already.
He's my boy.
You're on him.
Oh yeah, as soon as the season starts, I think that's going to be the next jersey I pick up.
Really?
Calvin Ridley, let's go, rookie jersey. Marquise Goodman is proving to possibly be one of Jimmy G's favorite receivers as he's picked up three catches on 61 yards. He's been a popular target over the preseason for Jimmy G, so keep an eye on him. His stock has definitely jumped up. I believe they said he has jumped up almost 40% in fantasy league
Jimmy
possessions.
G?
No, this Marquise Goodwin, proving to be one of Jimmy G's favorite wide receivers, possibly a good flex or somebody just to sit on the bench in case he does end up getting hot throughout the season.
What week do you think Jimmy G loses his first NFL game?
Man.
It's a hard one, I know.
It is. I'm definitely going to take a look at their schedule. Maybe that's something they're posting. One of the things that we're working on is I'm making this little template, so every week we will post on the website and our socials our weekly picks, and maybe we will also incorporate that same thing for other things like that, and we can basically put up the schedule for them. And we can mark what games that we think he'll lose. So that might be the next thing we put up. Put up a thing. Keep an eye on that for the website. Keep an eye on that on the Instagram. The last section I have here are a couple of the tight ends that did good. Austin Hooper, who we've been talking about spending some extra time with Matt Ryan, as I talked about before, picked up that nice touchdown to cap off the first drive with a 4-yard connection. And Trey Burton from Chicago has also showed some breakout potential with four catches for 45 yards and a touchdown in just the first quarter of the game.
Nice. Nice.
They said that this could potentially be another big tight end that you could pick up, so make sure you guys write that name down. Some other NFL news that I had, and I'm pretty sure I already covered a little bit of this. A.J. McCarron breaks his collarbone against the Browns in the first quarter, so he will not be ready for the opening of the season. So potentially Josh Allen, starter of the Buffalo Bills.
Ooh.
Looking good. Josh Gordon confirms
he's got that big ball. He can launch that ball.
Yeah, big hands, big ball, tall guy.
He's got it. He's got it all.
He's got it.
He's a full package.
He's the ideal football guy's quarterback.
Josh Allen, elite?
Josh Allen, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Josh Gordon confirms that he'll be returning to Browns after his mental leave absence. I guess the list he's on is the non-football-related injury list, based on like mental health issues he's been away. So I don't know if he'll be able to start.
Is he blaming his mental health issues on like concussions?
I don't know if it's concussions. It may just be that's the kind of thing that happens when you play for a team like the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, yeah. Probably depression.
Yeah, for sure. Atlanta loses their second preseason game. However, Ridley showed some promise. I'm just really excited for Ridley. He also had a pretty damn good kickoff return. Pat Mahomes, obviously, as we've talked about, showing off that big arm. And then we have a small section here. At least you're getting paid. These are some of the rookies whose first season in the NFL is already over. The Patriots' first pick of this year's draft, Isaiah Wynn, will miss the entire season with an Achilles tear. The second-round pick for Washington, Darius Geis, will miss his whole rookie year with a torn ACL. And sadly for you, Austin, the Colts' sixth-round pick, wide receiver Deion Kane, tore his ACL in the preseason opener and has officially been ruled out for his entire rookie season.
Hey. ACLs, back in the day, those were career enders. Now, they're not as bad. You're seeing people get bounce backs. I mean, the biggest example was Adrian Peterson when he came
obviously
back.
Obviously exploded.
He just fucking blew the season apart. He was 9 yards short of the rushing
I think
record.
They took the ACL out of a silverback gorilla and stuck it in there. Yeah, that dude was fucking pounding
crazy. But I will say somebody I'm excited for the Colts who's coming back from an ACL tear this year, he's actually on the defensive side, is Malik Hooker. I am so excited to see him back on the field because when he was there last season, he only got to play 3 games, but in all 3 games, he had an interception on defense. Now, your rookie year, 3 games in, 3 interceptions, you go down with an ACL tear. Do you think you're coming back in a league ready to keep that rhythm going?
Obviously. I think he's going to be a little cautious on it, but I think a young guy with that in the back of his mind definitely wants to keep that string going.
I bought his jersey as soon as he went down because I was like, God damn, I was really excited for him and he was really doing good and I still want to support him even though he's gone, and I went and bought him a Malik Hooker jersey.
Supporting your fallen men.
Yep.
I like that. That's a true American. That's a true American move. One thing that we wanted to go ahead and cover to cap off the NFL section. This helmet rule is wild.
Oh my God. We had a big debate.
Basically, and this is how I kind of feel about it. So there was a hit that occurred while we were at the bar on Thursday, and they called it, and Austin didn't agree with it. And basically, the running back lowered his head, but not in the direction of the defender, and the defender got the helmet rule called on him. So Austin kind of said that running back shouldn't even be able to lower their head at this point.
Yes. At this point, if you're going to make it where a defender cannot lead with his helmet, a running back should not be allowed, or a receiver, to lower their head for impact because the defense is trying to get themselves in a position where the helmet is either going across the body or behind the body. And if you are lowering your head, you are now bringing your head down to your chest. So if they're trying to go across your body, keeping their helmet away from your helmet, you're going to collide with their helmet. When the running back lowers his head, even when he's not looking at you,
yeah,
you're still going to collide because you're putting your head literally in the direction that they are now supposed to hit you in.
Yeah. And
they're getting rid of arm tackling.
Yes. And that's basically what I kind of said was you might see a scenario where the art of tackling has to change, where basically it's going to just be shoulder charges. They're not even hardly going to be able to extend their arms to take people out, and that's definitely going to allow running backs and wide receivers to just dominate defenses with their cut moves.
It's going
to
become a run league after that.
And that's kind of what I insinuated. While wide receivers still obviously can fall victim or play this card, it's almost going to be like the NBA's charge rule where a running back or receiver just has to duck their head and they're going trying to get the call, gain an extra 15 yards for their team. But also, it could bring it more towards a running league, as we've seen a lot more of the passing game in the past.
You're going to see a lot of bumper ball plays. You're going to see, because people aren't going to want to lower their head and wrap their arms and get like a rounder running back. They're going to tuck their shoulders in and try and, you know, do like just a hockey shoulder check.
Yeah.
And you're going to see running backs just spin out of that because their arms aren't, you're not wrapping up. You're not doing the fundamental tackling anymore because it puts your head too much in an area where you're going to make contact with their head.
And with this rule, teams are going to say, well, we could pass the ball and risk an interception, or we can hand it off. And if we don't get that many yards, there's still the chance that we're going to get the helmet rule called against us and gain 15 yards that way. So I can see it becoming a very predominant running league, which in turn will cause issues with just, I don't know, I think that would cause viewer issues in general. But we've also seen a couple plays recently. There was a few, I actually posted one on the website and shared a few to our Facebook, where one of them wasn't a roughing the passer call, where a guy just basically arm tackled the quarterback. His helmet didn't hit him. He didn't land on top of the guy. It was the most clean, basic sack you could have possibly seen, and they call roughing the passer. And I actually sent a message to Austin the other day because I had the same scenario happen on Madden where I just got a sack and I called it roughing the passer, and I was like, what the fuck is this? And he was like, well, that's not right. Well, then we saw it in the NFL.
Yep.
So obviously this is something that the rule has been established and talked about so much that it made it into the Madden game, because I haven't had a helmet call happen on a Madden game, but I could see it happen. Obviously they're not worried about fake people on a game,
right?
But for realism, I could see it put them in there. I could see him put that in there. But this will also allow skilled running backs to just juke the fuck out of defenders and just run rampant. But I feel like in the next couple years, it's going to become a very dominated running back league, especially with the running backs that we have in the league right now.
To get on what you were saying about the quarter, the sack that turned into a pass interference, I think that was a complete bullshit call. And I think they're dumbing down the league so much on the defense. This is all against the defense.
Yeah.
The defense has already got it hard enough with receivers because you can't breathe on them. You can't touch them. You can't even try and go for the ball until the receiver's made contact with the ball or the ball's in the direction within like 5 feet of the player. You can't do anything like that. If you're touching a receiver before he makes contact with the ball, that's a pass interference call. Well, now you can't lower your head and hit a running back. Also, if you hit a quarterback too hard, it's a roughing the passer call.
So they're basically just taking defense. It's going to be, the NFL is going to become a time trial where just the offense walks on the field, there's no defense, and they're just going to see how fast they can get up and down the field. And at the end of the game, they'll just check the times, and that's the team that wins. It's going to be ghost football.
Yeah.
The ninny-ass fantasy, or the ninny-ass fairy tale league.
And we were talking about it earlier kind of as a joke, but I wouldn't be surprised if you start seeing former players who were known for big hits and were monstrous people, like, let's say, Brian Dawkins or Ray Lewis. You might see those guys come up and they're like, yeah, we want the league to be safe, but this isn't football anymore.
Yeah.
You're turning it into a fucking pussy's game. Why don't we just put some flags on and start playing flag football if you're that worried about all of it?
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's going to turn into. And I think you're going to have people like that come out and say that you need to make football back to its violent stage.
Ooh, and that's where you could see leagues like XFL take over. Say, hey, we like the violence.
Ooh.
You come play for the XFL, we'll let you defensive men tackle whoever the fuck you want. And then when there's no defensive people to play in the fucking NFL and the ratings go down, then the offensive people have to go, or you'll have the ballsy offensive players that'll be like, yeah, I can still play in this league, and they'll go over there. And then maybe they'll actually give the NFL a run for their money.
Maybe.
XFL, we see you coming. The only other little bit of sports stuff that I had for this week involved some, it's almost like a mix of a wow story with the sports. So Zach Smith of Ohio State University has ordered several $1,000s worth of sex toys and had them delivered at the school, as well as had multiple, let's say, not safe for work photos surface on the internet. So documents and receipts that the stadium has obtained show Zach Smith ordered more than $2,200 in sex toys, male apparel, and photography equipment that had items delivered to him at Ohio State's Woody Hayes Athletic Center in 2015. Woody Hayes Athletic Center houses the Buckeyes football operations. All the items were delivered to specifically Zach Smith at the exact address. Courtney Smith, who I guess is somebody with the organization, said that Zach Smith took multiple photos of his penis inside the Ohio State's coach's office also inside the White House when the Buckeyes visited in 2015.
What a move!
And photographed himself in the coaches' offices receiving oral sex and having sex with other OSU staffers.
This is a football guy.
Yeah. After winning the 2014 national title, the Buckeyes were honored with that trip to the White House April 20th of 2015. So this dude is... This is like an Ovechkin type run.
This
like
dude's this got big dick
like, energy.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
This dude's like, we want a title. I'm fucking who I want. I'm taking pictures
I'm
of my dick where
office.
I want. Me and fucking Trump are sharing dick pics in the White House.
Oh, yeah.
Be like,
I'm fucking people on my staff.
Yeah, he's like, I'm a billionaire and I'm president of the United States. Well, I'm taking a dick pic in your office. What's up, cuz? You think Trump was like, good move. I like it.
It's huge.
That dick is huge. Take all the pictures you want.
It's the best. I know a guy who's seen a dick and yours is huge.
So that's some wild news. A lot of wild news coming out about college coaches just being, I feel like college coaches are the new Catholic priests.
Well, you know, I actually have a theory to it. I mean, you got these college coaches, they're getting older. They're up there in their years. They're in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. You got some of them in their 70s approaching their 80s. But you know that there's a bunch of 18 to 22-year-old girls just walking around at every single game and
yeah.
seeing them at the school all the time. I mean, I'm not saying that a guy should, like, you know, be ogging and Googling at girls, but it happens.
Yeah.
And if you're a football coach for so long at a college and you keep seeing girls, kind of like, what's the movie?
Dazed and Confused.
Dazed and Confused.
He gets older and they always stay the same age.
Yeah.
So he has that. But a lot of it's just like the mental and physical abuse. Now, is that maybe because us younger guys are soft? Maybe, but it may just be that those people are fucking psychos.
Yeah.
And because, I mean, there was literally a kid died recently because he had a heat stroke and his coaches made him stay out there and play.
Yeah, that's happened a couple times, actually.
And so at what point, you know, you have the NFL not letting people sack quarterbacks, but then in
you
the NCAA, they're literally killing people. So maybe there needs to be some sort of reconciliation, or maybe the NCAA's, you know, training staffs and the NFL's training staffs and the rulemakers need to get together and make some sort of like similar transition.
Yeah.
Because I feel like right now these NCAA kids, it's almost like the military. They're going through fucking hell week, not getting paid and potentially dying, and then get to the NFL where they make a bunch of money and nobody can touch them.
Yeah. And you know, I kind of give it to them because a lot of the NFL people talk about like practice is hard.
Yeah.
But there are players, like, if you listen to Pat McAfee's show, he talks about how sometimes at practice, like, players who know what they're doing, like when Peyton, Harrison, and Reggie, and Adai were all there together, they didn't do practice.
Yeah.
They just were in a group and would talk about play schemes and how they wanted to do it. They didn't
because their physical ability was where it needed to be at. At that point, it's just, it's similar when I did pro gaming, you know, I was at a level where I could compete at pro tournaments. I never got to the point where I was actually successful in them, winning first or second or third. But I became good friends with some of them, and a lot of them would give me help, and they would sit there and say, like, you have a pro level shot.
Yeah.
The problem is everybody here has a pro level shot. So now you have to learn how to move around the map, what positions to hold to outplay the other team and stuff like that. It doesn't matter that you have a good shot. Everybody has a good shot.
Yeah.
So when you're in the NFL and you're somebody along the lines, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Marvin Harrison, Marshall Faulk, all these people back in the day, Terrell Owens, you have all these people. They were the best. And there's other people that are the best. At that point, it's not about your physical ability to play the sport. It's about the mental mind games and the strategy that needs to be implemented to outplay the other people that are on par with you physically.
When you find players that can literally come into a league that's been ran a certain way for so long and they can alter it to work for them, a big example you had him in there is Marshall Faulk. He was such a good running back, but they turned him into a receiving back and he blew the league up. And now every team.
Now you have to be a receiving back.
Tony Gonzalez, tight ends. They weren't like huge targets. You had Tony Gonzalez come
Jeremy
in.
Jeremy Shockey
for a while. Jeremy Shockey shows up. Dallas Clark shows up. Once you change the league and people go, oh, fuck, I can do that, then people go in there and they change the league. Now you have players like Gronk who are out there and Greg Olsen because of what happened back then. They literally altered the game, but at their time, they were the best because they were the only ones who could do it.
Exactly.
That's what I'm comparing it to your gaming when you're saying everybody out here.
It gets to a point where everybody here is a professional football player. The next step is who can play the game, who can come up with the most creative ways to get the job done.
Yes.
Because also, the sport's been around for a while. A lot of people, there's lots of different ways to skin a cat. So at this point, when people create the most crazy ways to do it, Philly special in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Don't even have fullbacks anymore. Some teams legitimately don't have a fullback.
Yep. And players like Randall Cunningham, who came out and he like made the running quarterback, and then Michael Vick shows up and he explodes through the running quarterback. And now like almost all quarterbacks now, like Russell Wilson, Cam Newton, they're based off of what they used to do.
Yeah. And that's why you even have players, like you said, their backs have to be able to receive. You have people that are playing both positions, like Ty Montgomery and Tavon Austin.
Yep.
When he was on the Rams, literally 1 week he might be listed as a wide receiver, the next week he might be listed as a running back.
Yep.
So you got to be ready for those things, and the league changes all the time. And right now I feel like we're heading towards a dark time in the NFL. I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. Maybe, I mean, obviously, it's still going to be fun and exciting. The NFL is just a fun sport.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, I also feel like, too, almost like you had your, if I were president a while back, where you're like, I'm not going to do anything. The rules change so much every fucking year. They don't even know how it's going to play out long term because they just change it every fucking year.
I think our biggest problem is we are at the peak of talent in the NFL, but we're also at the most strict ruling.
Yes.
I think that's why it's choking.
You have the best
itself.
Players right now. You have some, just like when we were sitting there doing fantasy drafts, mock drafts not long ago, I was like, dude, there are just so many good, it's hard to have a bad team.
Yeah.
But at the same time, rules are so strict, we need to let the players free.
And I mean it for the defense. I think the rules are all in favor of offense.
Yeah.
And I think they need to cut the defense some slack.
Because I think, too, that the NFL might be worried. You know, they want to make the defense as hard as possible because people want to see points. They want to see touchdowns. But can you imagine if the rules were as laxed as they were 10 years ago when you had a team like Jacksonville? Jacksonville's defense might have 3 touchdowns a game.
Yeah. They'd be like the 2000 Ravens or the 85 Bears.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just a defense, but they can't now because of how the rules are changed. That's why those teams will always be forever enshrined as so good.
Because they
the teams
do
now
that
are so straight, they can't do that today. They wouldn't be allowed to. They'd give up more penalty yards than
ever
anything
before.
They ever did.
So that pretty much wraps up our sports section for today. So we're going to go ahead and jump this right into some of our other segments, starting off with the wow stories of the week.
Wow.
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 Our wow story of the week is, as always, brought to you by our amazing sponsor, The Vape Store. They are located at 1407 Lake St. Louis Boulevard in St. Louis, Missouri, and their new location at 8623 Mexico Road in Ofala, Missouri, is now open for business. So, an amazing group of people that now have 2 amazing locations that you can check for the greatest flavors of vape, amazing mods, awesome tanks. I'm actually going to have to be stopping there very soon to get a new mod as mine's going out. Austin's got an awesome new tank that he got recently. They can hook you up with all the coils, anything you need, they got there, so be sure and check them out. So, Austin, I have 2 wow stories of the week, so how about I do one, and then you do one, and then I'll do my last one.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
All right, my first one... Made a lot of
beforehand.
Let's go ahead and just
let's go, baby. Well,
let's go, son.
Ooh, that's
let's
fizzy.
Ooh, yep, real fizzy. Like, oh god,
tasty.
All over electronics. Awesome.
Luckily, it's not on this because I'd fucking slap you. Mm. But my first wild story of the week is going to be the satanic symbol protested the Ten Commandments monument in Arkansas by bringing their own statue of. Baphomet, who I guess is some
satanic goat lord.
Yeah, demon goat lord with wings. It's got a couple children on there looking up to him. He's just kind of staring off into space like, fuck you kids. Members of the satanic symbol used a statue of the occult deity to protest the Ten Commandments statue monument in Little Rock, Arkansas. It's 8.5 feet tall, and it depicts a winged half-goat, half-man with 2 children by its side. It was briefly installed in front of the state capitol, and they're actually trying to get it permanently installed, saying that if the state capitol is going to represent Catholicism or Christianity, it should also be willing to represent other religions of various deities. And pretty much the governor said it'll be a cold day in hell for me to ever put that fucking statue here. And now other organizations are coming out and saying, well, that's fine, but you really shouldn't have any religious-based statues on your premises based on the Supreme Court ruling that said that that's not, you have to separate that.
Yeah,
you
the separation of church and state.
Yeah, you can't openly promote one religion over others. It promotes, I guess, discrimination. Yeah. And as somebody that doesn't give a flying fuck about any of that shit, it wouldn't really bother me, but good for these people, you know? Standing up for themselves, not taking any shit. But yeah, I don't really give a fuck about any religion in general, but I mean, if you don't like something, you gotta do something about it. And so they're there showing off their badass statue and hoping to either get it permanently erected somewhere or get rid of the Ten Commandments one.
I'm actually really for it, for them to put it up. I think it's actually a good idea to have, like, the statue of, like, the good from a religion and then for the satanic side of the religion. Because I'm not going to say it's a bad side, because, like, some people, you know, if they believe that, they don't think it's bad. They actually think that's what it's supposed to, that's the good thing. So if you have the two statues and you'll have your counterpoints, I actually think that's a good way to get those people together. Like, you might, yeah, and like talk about it.
Or kill each other.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's normally what happens when people talk about religion.
But it's in Arkansas, so we're cool if they kill each other.
Yeah, don't think of
this. It's wild, too, because that's like in the middle of the Bible Belt, so you know people are pretty fucking heated.
Oh, yeah.
So what's your wild story that you got?
Mine is about a dude who is really ballsy. He's pretty much, well, he's fucking dead.
Yeah.
He's dead. He's super dead. So a Utah man died on Monday after intentionally flying a plane into his own home trying to kill his wife and his son.
That sounds like an odd task for the day.
Yeah, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you have an argument with your wife and you flip your lid, normally you just go to the bar, have a drink or two. Or, you know, you just take your time and you talk through it and you calm down and you guys get everything all going all nice. I don't think we're recording.
We're definitely recording.
Oh, it was just really, nah. Well,
you just talk and let me deal with the production, motherfucker.
Okay. All right. But yeah, you normally go to the bar, you do your thing, you're all good, happy days, you talk it out. But no, this dude goes, you know what I'm going to do?
I'm going to get a plane.
I'm going to go steal a goddamn plane. And I'm gonna go fly it into my house because fuck my wife and fuck my kid.
And fuck my house.
But
and fuck this plane.
Yeah, and fuck everything. Fuck it. And the people who had saw it, they said they saw the plane and it just kept getting, it's such a funny like report. The ladies were watching, the neighbors were watching the plane come through and they're like, it just kept getting lower and lower.
And lower.
And then it just exploded into the house.
Which is usually what happens when planes get so low, they just careen into the ground.
Yeah, they typically explode. But the dude had actually seen before hitting his wife. So the dude had some domestic violence.
So obviously the dude's
tendency.
A piece of shit.
Yeah, the dude was a piece of shit, and I'm glad he's dead. But gnarly way to take yourself out. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to go steal a plane. I'm going to fly it into my house. I'm going to die. But I'm taking them out with me.
Yeah.
He died thinking he killed them, but he did not.
Yeah, I mean, RIP and P to his fucking family, but
no, they're alive. His wife.
Oh, they didn't die?
Yeah, they didn't die.
How did they live?
He hit the house, and the house withstanded the plane. The house didn't even go down.
Oh, so he just got a pussy-ass plane.
Yeah, he got like a small, like maybe like a 5-passenger plane. But he was thinking that would
careen
through
it.
The house, and it did not. It literally just exploded upon impact in the front of the house and just blew, like, the face.
I could just see little Timmy on Fortnite be like, hold on, guys, my dad just fucking flew a plane into the house.
Oh, God.
And then, or, like, his mom's freaking out. She's like, Timmy, we gotta go. He's like, Mom, bottom five. I can't leave.
Yeah. I gotta do this. I gotta finish.
Or he crashed it and it killed the internet, and so he just like went over and beat the shit out of his dad's dead body for fucking up his fucking win ratio.
Maybe.
Could have been in a game with Ninja. He was all hyped.
Yeah, in size comparison, what does this say about 9/11?
I mean, maybe we need to build the next Twin Towers out or whatever the fuck this house was built out of.
Absolutely, because it
much
was
better builders.
Withstand a plane. I mean, I'm looking like for size scale, one 757 jet to the Twin Towers.
I actually bet the small house or the small plane to the small house would have been a bigger ratio than that plane to the
That's what I'm
house.
Saying. It's a much bigger ratio, and the house didn't really get that fucked up.
Yeah.
So, Bush, what's up with that?
Yeah, maybe we... So, do we need to make...
Do we need to make skyscraper houses?
or maybe just not building buildings so big. But it's kind of hard when you're in a place like New York. You kind of got to go up because you got no more.
Yeah, there's no more
footage.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Weird.
My other wild story of the week involved a Michigan man that decided the deli aisle of his local Kroger store was the best place to just take a quick piss. He allegedly chose an unusual place to relieve himself last Sunday night. The 69-year-old man, Schwartz Creek local. He hasn't been named. I thought his name was Schwartz Creek for a while, but that's where the motherfucker lives. He has not been named. Peed in the deli section of his local Kroger store. A customer who saw him alerted the staff of the incident and allegedly took a couple pictures. The man was arrested shortly after. The grocery store has since thrown out any affected items, though, and they thoroughly cleaned the area. Maybe this guy just wanted a pastrami sandwich.
If you wanted a show... You're in for a treat.
You're in for a pretty good treat. Let me whip the stick out. Maybe he noticed there was no tube steak sandwiches and just wanted to provide some lending hand to the local Kroger.
Maybe he was just trying to thaw out some meat.
Just his own flavor. Yeah, maybe he was just like, oh, I gotta get this home and cook it. Let me just pass on it real quick. That'll thaw it out. Let me see if it works, because I don't want to like buy it and take it home and then it not work.
And then piss on it, because that's just going to be a waste of time.
Yeah. Do you think this dude was like fucked out of his mind, or do you think he was just like a senile 69-year-old?
69's a little young for senile, ain't it?
Not necessarily.
I don't know. I think he was probably just a weird guy. I'm just guessing he was just a dude who... He's a dude's dude.
Usually Krogers are in pretty weird areas, and if you're shopping at a Kroger, you're probably a weirdist.
I don't think I've ever shopped in a Kroger.
I have. They had one in Troy.
Yeah.
Dad would take us a couple times to get those hot deals.
Those hot deals.
Yeah, that's where they got deals. You know the little tiny pizzas that we would get, the little Tostines pizzas?
No.
Tiny little oven pizzas. You could eat like a whole one in one sitting. Tostino's pizzas. They're like this big around. We literally ate them all the fucking time.
Yeah, well, we also had... I was a depressed child. I've kind of, you know, had...
Well, they got these pizzas, and you can get, like, 10 of them for $10.
Mm.
So it wasn't a bad deal. We would always get the...
So they were, like, pizzas, but, like, Hot Pocket style? So
no, it was just a mini personal...
Pizza.
Oven pizza.
Ah.
Yeah, you can get them at Walmart now still, too.
Oh, right.
Just Tostino's. They're a pretty popular brand.
Yeah, I know Tostino's brands. Yeah,
just Tostino's pizzas.
Huh.
Yeah. But, yeah, I feel for this guy. He chose the wrong place and the wrong time to take a piss on some meat. But let's go ahead and jump into our next segment, which is what we would do if we were the president.
If I was president, I'd get elected on Friday, assassinated on Saturday, buried on Sunday. If I was president, if I was president.
All right, so for my... If I were president, as somebody who works in the construction field, I've seen a lot of people waste a bunch of fucking money. And mainly, they are schools and hospitals, because they get all their money given to them by the government and grants and shit like that from people like us that pay the taxes. So I'm like working in this place, and I was like, oh, I'm currently working to make money, but I know that I'm losing money because you guys just blow the money that I put towards these type of establishments. So one of the things I would do is fix the way that schools and hospitals' budgets are handled, because we actually did a school one time, and they had this big badass like marble staircase in the middle of the school, and one of the people were like, yeah, we could have built like two more wings onto the school for the cost of that stairwell, but they didn't need two more wings because we don't have that many kids. But they didn't want to go under budget because then they wouldn't get money next year. And I was like, so you're telling me if you blow all your money, they just give you more money. But if you are good with your money and don't spend it all, they stop giving you money. He's like, yeah, basically. Which sounds like the dumbest fucking thing ever.
Yeah.
Because there's all kinds of hospitals.
Have a spending spree. We'll just give you more.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it's fucking handled. And I feel like one of the things that would help reduce taxes and fix things for people is basically you restructure it where it's like, okay, well, you met your max last year, so we're not giving you money this year. But schools that consistently come under budget, even if it's just a little bit, you know, if they show that they are trying to be good with the money, we would check like what they spend it on, because I don't want schools like just buying all the cheapest bullshit either and
right.
making them shitty and needing more money to fix the shitty shit they put in their schools and hospitals would be to look at how they're spending the money, and if they actually did a good job, built everything right, came in under budget, then they would go on a list, and then in a couple years when it's like, hey, we need this, boom, instant, give them whatever they want because they don't blow their money.
Yeah, they keep a good management, and they're not just trying to fuck us by making a marble step in the center of a school that you could build two more wings for, and the, some other school that might
and the crazy thing is the next year they built two more wings onto the school because they did end up a bunch of people moved out because it had a brand new school and then they needed the two wings.
Jesus fucking
Christ. Like, what the fuck?
They could have just been more prepared.
And then the taxpayers' money goes up again because they had to add that, because every time they have to max out the budget, then the taxpayers have to cover those costs. And I feel like it would just save a lot of people. And I know a lot of that goes into the state regulation, but I would talk to, like, all the governors of the states
right,
look, you need to fucking do this because we're wasting a lot of fucking money here.
Yeah.
And then that would help state to state, which would in turn trickle up, I guess, to where it would help the country as a whole. But, yeah, that's what I would do.
Hmm.
What about
and
you?
I think that's a good idea, mainly because if you're gonna have a school not spend or a hospital not spend all their money, I think it should almost be like a rollover thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of we're gonna just always back you with a new amount that's probably gonna be higher, it should be a rollover. So like, say they give a school like $3 million to do something. Okay, say they spend $2 million of it. Okay, we're gonna give you the $3 million again, but you're getting. You still had the million from the last time, so now you're at $4 million.
Yeah.
I think that's how it should kind of go through. Not, oh, you went through all of it? Well, here's $4 million.
And I don't know.
Time.
The only reason I don't know if I'd do that is because then still basically the taxpayers would have to keep up what they're paying.
But it'd be consistent. It wouldn't completely rise.
No, and it wouldn't. But I feel like after so much, there would be like a cap to where like you can save up this much. So that's where people would spend their money on stuff they need, but it also wouldn't get to the point where one year a school was like, we want to spend $50 million on all this shit.
Yeah.
It's like, well, motherfucker, now 50 schools want to spend that much money and we can't give it to all 50 of them
right.
at the same time. You would have to kind of set up like a schedule for schools to be able to spend their money.
Yeah.
What about you?
Me? I'm a talkative guy.
Yeah, we do podcasts.
Yeah, we do podcasts. And, you know,
and
like,
now.
There's all these fake outlets for news, like The Daily Show.
Yeah.
Or The Late Show.
Or any, like, late-night talk show.
Yeah, any late-night talk show, specifically the ones with Stephen Colbert and Jon Stewart was the other one who
yeah,
had one.
Yeah, he did.
I would do that as the president. I would have my own late-night show daily. Every day, I would talk about what we did for the day, what I did for the day.
Or if you couldn't be there, have like a representative, like if you were at something actual busy, they could come on and say, you could just text him what you wanted to talk about and say, president's actually busy tonight doing this because he is the fucking president and this is what he's doing today, so you people know, have a night.
Yeah, but I would only do like a 30-minute time section. It would be live. I wouldn't do editing. I'd literally walk up, camera set, and I'd be like, all right, here's what we're doing today.
Fucking go.
And I'd fucking go.
Fuck it, we'll do it live.
Yep, Bill O'Reilly up in this bitch. But I would definitely do that. I would tell them about my progress. I would have a Twitter feed to where people could legitimately live on be interacting with me. So like people might tell me to suck a cock, you're an asshole, fuck you, and I can just be like, oh, that's great.
Shout out to freedom of speech.
Yeah,
my people.
Do whatever you want to do. You don't like my show, that's fine. You like my show, you're glad I'm out here talking to you, that's perfectly fine. I'm doing this for you guys.
I'm a president for my people.
Yes. If you hate me or love me, I'm here for you.
Yeah.
So
that's
I would
a good
do something
idea.
Like that. Yeah. Yeah. And I think having it where I can actually have people interact to things that I'm doing. So like I could literally talk about, hey, here's the bills we're going over, or hey, here's like some things we're doing with like war negotiating and shit like that. I obviously probably can't make everything public because there's shit you got to keep under wraps. But if you got on the TV and every night your president of your country had a 30-minute slot and just came on and talked for a minute, wouldn't you like the fact that your president's literally like, hey, live now. Tweet me, you can get at me, message me, you got something to say. If it pops up on my board and that's the one I happen to read, I'm going to talk to you directly.
And
right
then you
now.
Know how I talked about I would be like very social president if I did it, and I would like get sponsorships and shit.
Yeah.
While you did your show, you could have little ads pop up throughout it, and then the money you make from that, boom, right to the people. And that's where you could say on your thing, hey, tonight's fucking presidential update is brought to you by this, this, and this. And just so you know, the money we're making from these advertisements goes straight to this tonight. And like every night, you could put that money towards something else. else.
No, I think it's a great thing. And then whenever I, like, do have shit doing and I finally do get a day off, I can have an episode where I come down and I talk about, I went and played 18 rounds of golf today. It was fucking awesome.
I had a great day today. And, you know, do you want a president that's miserable? No, I want to have a good time. I want to help you people have a good time. Once in a while, I just need to go shoot some golf or go do some shit. And that's what I did today.
Yeah. And I think that's exactly what I would do as a president. I think I would fucking kill it. I think my ratings would be through the goddamn roof.
And you can invite random citizens to come play around a golf with the president.
Yep, I could have celebrities on. I could bring anybody to the White House and be like, hey, today I got fucking Jay-Z. What's up, bud?
How do you feel about America, Jay-Z?
Yeah, let's all talk right to the people.
All right, sounds good. Get Sacha Baron Cohen up there. I bet he'd have some good shit to say.
I bet he would.
All right, so now that we've covered what we would do, if we were the presidents, we're going to go into getting to something that we're really into lately, and that's our conspiracy theories. Austin, go ahead and hit me with your conspiracy theory this week.
Oh, I'm going to slap you right in the goddamn face with it.
Oh, I want you to slap me in the dick with it.
Ooh, I can do that too if all you right really want to.
Maybe later.
Ooh. So, we all know who Harry Potter is. But did you know, according to this conspiracy theory, he was not the first famous person from Hogwarts to hit films?
I didn't know that because you're debuting this conspiracy theory
now. I am debuting it to you right now. Mary Poppins.
Okay, I know her.
Okay, so if you've seen the Disney film, you know Mary Poppins is a magical nanny who transforms lives from people. You know, like, changes all these kids and gives them all these experiences and shows them, like, all the fun stuff they do.
It shows them all around good time.
Yeah. Well, she flies into Cherry Tree Lane via an enchanted umbrella.
Sounds familiar.
You know who else has an enchanted umbrella?
Who's that?
Hagrid.
Oh, ever heard of him?
Because Hagrid's one.
If you haven't watched Harry Potter, you probably haven't. So he's a character from Harry Potter.
Yeah, he's a big, giant dude who once was enrolled in Hogwarts, but he got, like, expelled and they broke his wand, but he took his wand and he implanted it into his umbrella, and that's why his umbrella can shoot like fireballs and shit, because it's kind of like his wand. That so is. Mary Poppins did the same type of thing. Sounds pretty Harry Potterish, don't it?
It does. Ladies flying around on it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and actually, if you watch the Harry Potter stuff, what Mary Poppins wears is kind of similar to that all-girls school.
Yeah,
that they wear in the movie.
Yeah, so maybe she didn't go. Oh, no, yeah, it does say she goes to Hogwarts specifically.
But that's still fan theory, maybe. The flaw is that she went to that old girl's school. She's basically from the same universe.
Yes, but in 1910, Mary was actually a star employee for the Ministry of Magic.
Ooh.
Because she would go to the real world and find muggles, people who weren't wizards, and she was trying to show them the ways of the wizarding world. Just like in the movie, anytime the kids bring up, like, she does magic shit, she denies it.
Yeah.
Saying, no, that's no, it doesn't, because if you're in the wizardry world and you go back to the real, you have to hide it. You have to deny the fact that you are a magician or a wizard or whatever the fuck you want to call yourself. And she does that. And what she's doing is she's going out to the world trying to find muggles who have potential to come to the wizarding world, and she would show them, hey, no, you can actually do this shit, and I'm here, that's what I'm here for. I'm nannying all these kids right now at a very young age so I can see who has potential to become a master wizard out of the muggles, out of the normal people, instead of the purebloods. And that's where it starts to get weird. You never hear about her in any of the Hogwarts films because it's very tragic of how she died. She actually dies from Voldemort in his first rising. Because if you know, Voldemort wanted pure-blooded wizards.
Oh.
He only wanted people from the wizarding world to be with people from the wizarding world and hated muggles.
And then take over the muggles. And he didn't like her because she was bringing them in.
She was bringing them in. So,
she was like the Harriet Tubman of muggles for the magic world.
Yes.
And Voldemort was like a racist guy that wasn't having it.
Yeah. So, since he was unaccepting of all these muggles and she was like trying to bring them in and make it like a whole light to the world, you had the guy like Voldemort who finally, when he got so powerful and became what he was, he offed her first, and nobody really wanted to talk about it because it was such a tragic thing since she worked for the Ministry of Magic and he took her right the fuck out.
Said later, Mary.
Yeah.
Well, rest in peace, Mary Poppins. I'm sorry you had to go that way.
Yeah, that's a rough way to go.
My conspiracy theory involves a little more real life shit. The California forest fires that have been kind of raging all this year.
Real hot.
Real hot.
Hot topic.
Hot topic, hot takes for the people in California that have been dealing with it. But this little conspiracy theory says that they said that they had apprehended somebody who was responsible, that some arson started all of them recently. But Some people on the internet have some different ideas. Apparently, they believe that these fires could have been started by government laser testing. There's all these videos on the internet going around showing some of the trees from the fires that are burning from the inside out, which only happens when lightning strikes it. Mm. And they're also showing, like, these neighborhoods that all the houses are completely leveled from the fires, but all the trees in the neighborhood and stuff and the lawns are still fine. And people have come out saying, like, oh, it's been a wet year, so the trees are full of water, and that's why they're not burning as quickly as the houses and stuff are and stuff like that. But incidentally, there was a movie years ago called RoboCop.
Oh, and heard of it?
Ever heard of it? One of the scenarios that happens in there is that a satellite-guided laser misfires in the same area in California that the fires are currently burning now. So that might be something kind of like one of the movie or one of the videos we watched not long ago on YouTube where it talked about, like, basically putting things in movies and television shows that make the people and general populace, like, used
sensitized
to the idea. Yeah, like, used to the idea of that happening. So, you know, kind of like all the instances of 9/11 being predicted.
Let's bring up 9/11 again.
Yeah, 9/11. And just other incidences that get predicted in television shows and stuff like that. You see it long enough, the idea becomes, like, normalized in your mind. So when you see it, you don't really think it's that crazy. And incidentally, in California, there is a 500 trillion watt laser that was developed for this type of laser testing.
Oh.
As, like, laser weapons for...
Just so happens there's also fires where there's a giant laser
place.
Weapon.
And so obviously we couldn't just test this shit out on other countries or it would spark a big war.
Right.
So maybe Donald Trump or the government is like, you know what, we'll just test it on our own place. Because then they can't bitch at us.
Right.
And where does Donald Trump and the government pretty much like people the least?
California.
California. That's where all the celebrities are that constantly go out and bash Donald Trump and other government stuff. So they're like, you know what? I'm going to fire this shit over here, get rid of some of the fucking libtards and the people that we don't like in the media and stuff like that. And if it works, then we'll also have this badass weapon that we can use on our enemies.
And you know,
Donald Trump does like having a badass army.
Yeah, and I do... It is kind of funny because I've seen a house burn.
Yes.
You've seen a house burn.
We've all seen it.
Yeah, we've all seen it. It's a beautiful sight. Don't ever start one.
Don't start one because then, like, the personal responsibility issues are a headache.
Yeah, but if you happen to see a building burning...
Check it out.
Yeah, it's not a bad sight. But normally there's some debris left.
Yes.
I've seen the pictures from the fires.
They're level.
They're gone. There's nothing.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally just a pile of ash. It's not like some of the structure still up or brick still up. Or it's just gone.
And part of this was basically gave me some questions to ask. How long do you think it is till basically the wars that we have on Earth look like fucking Star Wars, where it's just laser guns going all around? Because, you know, if we develop this, the one thing the government always does is then sell that shit off to other countries that are willing to pay for it. Then they turn around, want to fight us, and then we got to kill them with our own shit.
Yeah, and I know we already have, like, the nuke destroying lasers. Like, about that? Like, the anti-nuke laser shit?
Just disarm one?
Yeah, like, disarms them in the air before they can go off. So we already have, like, laser technology weapons, and we might just be, like, making it into laser guns. But for, like, your question of it being, like, when it's going to be, like, Star Wars, I don't think we're going to have any space battles, even though let's go Space Force. I don't think we're going to have any space battles for quite a long time.
But even, like, on... Because I saw videos of other laser testing before, like... You basically have, like a fighter boat, like a destroyer, and, like, it could take down a plane with a laser instead of bullets.
Mm.
Like, laser-targeted weapon systems, like anti-air.
I don't think it's long before we have laser weapon technology, but for it to be, like,
Star Wars...
Or just
a plane on one where instead of us, like, going through and bombing a country and causing a bunch of destruction like that, you could get, like, a precise targeted laser. So, like, instead of just bombing a town... You could send that laser down almost like a lightning strike and just take out one building and level.
You can do it like Armageddon. Is it? No, Independence Day, when the laser blows up the White House.
Yeah, just blows up the one building. Possible. And then also, if we do create that kind of thing, how long do you think it is till they make, like, personal defense lasers to where, like, oh, we're banning AR-15s? That's cool. I got a laser gun.
Hmm. Well, Elon Musk did release a flamethrower gun to people.
Elon Musk, I need you to make me a personal self-defense laser gun.
I want a laser pistol. I want the one that Han Solo has. Yeah.
That'd be pretty legit. But that pretty much covers my conspiracy theories. And I figured we would just jump right into some debatables. Does that sound good to you?
Yeah, I'm okay with some debatables.
All right. We will jump right into some debatables.
All right.
So the first one I have here would be, would you rather fuck a goat, but nobody know, or not fuck a goat, but everybody thinks you did?
Hmm. Now, are we talking, like, goat as an animal, or are we talking goat like Tom Brady or Michael Jordan?
Hmm. I guess it doesn't really specify.
Because if it was a goat animal...
I would definitely fuck Tom Brady or Michael Jordan, because you know how much... How dominant you would be.
And I'd let everybody know.
Yeah, I would.
I would tell everybody. I would want everybody to know.
Or
to go.
Or you don't even have to go through the trouble. Just can you imagine being like... Because then they would contact you, and you can maybe make some money this way. It's like...
Are you suggesting, that, like, blackmailing the goat?
Yeah, and be like, that's the guy that fucked Tom Brady. And Tom Brady would be like, what the fuck? No, he didn't. And then be like, did I?
Yeah.
Did I
fuck you?
And
did
then
we
Tom,
fuck Tom?
And then Tom would message you and be like,
"Yo, you're supposed to keep that under wraps.
I need you. I will pay you any amount of money to get you to stop telling people that you fucked me."
And I'd be like, "Nah, I'm gonna let everyone.
I'm just gonna let it go." But yeah, so that's.
So the answer
is
for me
to
is...
not fuck them and let people think you fucked them, because I'd be down with people thinking I fucked Tom Brady or Michael Jordan.
I'd do that, or I would fuck them, and I would still tell everybody.
I'd still tell everybody. All right, I like that. All right, so your mother and girlfriend switch bodies. The only way to get them back is to fuck one. Are you fucking your girlfriend inside of your mom's body, or your mom's body with your girlfriend inside?
Hmm. Given I'm single, I guess I'm just fucking my mom.
Yeah, true. Your mom's dead and you don't have a girlfriend.
I'm gonna have a real rough time.
But hypotheticals.
Hypothetically, if I did have a mom who loved me and cared for me and was there, and if I had
that's
a girlfriend.
That's a weird concept.
Yeah, I wonder what that's like. Must be nice.
Must be nice.
Must be nice. And if I had a girlfriend who also loved for me and cared for me and was there, must be nice.
It is nice. I got one of those.
Mm. Oh, my heart.
Get with the program. I love you, though.
Yeah, these are both hypothetical for me. I'm
all you need, baby.
Thank you. I'm going to... you can't hear that, but I rubbed his face. For my choice, I would probably... for the sake of looks, I would... But personality there, too.
I would probably fuck my girlfriend's mom with her inside of it, because then... I'd be taking one for the team to get the girlfriend back, and then she's the one that remembers it, and then when they switch back, the mom still has no idea what it's like.
Wait, no, the mom would remember, because you're fucking your girlfriend with the mom's head.
No, I'm fucking the mom's body with my girlfriend in it.
Oh, but are they conscious that their bodies have switched? Or
yes, they know. They realize.
Okay.
And
they
want to be switched back. And the magical wizard of fucked up-dom comes down and says, the only way that this is getting fixed is he's fucking someone.
Hmm.
And he can either fuck the mom with the girlfriend's conscience or the girlfriend's body with the mom's conscience. Now, if you fuck the girlfriend's body, that's what's easiest for you. But then for the rest of her life, her mom knows how you fuck, which might not be a bad thing. She might be impressed. Be happy for her daughter. But
oh, I thought it was your mom and your girlfriend.
Oh, it is.
That yeah,
is,
so it's not your girlfriend's mom, it's your mom.
So it would be your mom knowing how you fuck. Well, that then that makes it hard fucking your mom's body.
That's what I was getting at.
Yeah,
so I would fuck my girlfriend with my mom's head in it.
Really?
Yes, because one, I don't want to see my mom naked.
Yeah.
Even if it's my girlfriend in there, because then I'm going to remember what she looks like, but now she's going to remember what I do.
But then what if your mom tries to fuck you then after you go back?
Well.
Because she knows what it's like.
Maybe that's a win-win for you if you're into incest, because incest is wincest.
But if you're not, that creates some weird situations.
I mean, I can always reject my mom.
Because then you could be like at the dinner table one day and be like, it'd be nice if, you know, you fucked me like your son did the one time. I'd be like, wow, yikes, sorry, Dad.
Yeah, sorry, Pops. I didn't...
I'll give you some lessons.
Yeah, we can always talk about it. What do you want to know?
Yeah, but I don't know. I think you're right.
I think my girlfriend would rather me fuck her body than fuck her in my mom's body. Because then it's more...
Because girls are that shallow.
Maybe. Yeah, yes. Maybe. And I think
girls
she would
are
be
that
like,
petty, I should say.
I think, like, if my girlfriend's head was in my mom's head, and I was like, all right, we're going to do this, I think she'd be like, you're going to fuck your mom. And I'd be like, you're right. And then I'd probably go over to the other one, and my mom would be like, don't do this. And I'd be like, yeah, well, we kind of have to, because I ain't going to do that.
Yeah.
I think your mom would be more understanding than your girlfriend would, so your mom would allow you to fuck her while your girlfriend wouldn't.
Yeah. For sure, because then your girlfriend, to her, is going to be like, she's going to play the double-edged sword. She's going to be like, I need you to fuck my body, because that's, you know, that's what you're used to. But at the same token, she'd be like, oh, so you're not going to want to fuck me when I look like this and I'm old and stuff.
Or, but what if you do decide to fuck your mom, and then when they switch back, your girlfriend's like, oh, you cheated on me with your mom?
That's fucked up.
Yeah, like you don't win.
It's kind of a tough situation.
It is. But
I think if I was forced to, I almost think you're right. Be like, mom, I need you to just, oh, you know what you do? You knock your mom out. Fuck the girlfriend.
So what do you do? Like, punch her in the head, or are you like
that, or just her? Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. Yeah. Rape culture.
Rape culture. No, make it. Or, I mean, your mom would probably be down for that. I'm sure she doesn't want her to. Just
yeah, to remember it. Like, if you agreed upon it.
Yeah, like, mom, take a bunch of NyQuil, and we'll wait a little bit, and then when she passes out, you just fuck your girlfriend's body, and then the mom will never remember.
Breaking yeah, the, I think
that's
I think
the
that,
loophole
yeah,
you got to go for.
I think that's the way to do it.
That's the play. Next would be, if you could make a hybrid animal out of any two species, what would you make? Mm. And I actually didn't think about this at all, because I wanted to be fresh on the cast.
I haven't thought about it either. And, like, immediately I wanted to do, like, a horse and a bird, but then I just realized that's, like, the mythological creature
Pegasus.
Already. Yeah, like a Pegasus. So, like, I'm trying to think of something more original for itself.
I think, like, the most terrifying thing would probably be, like, a lion and a grizzly bear. That would be a scary fucking creature.
That would be a terrifying... I don't even know what that would look like.
Can you, like...
It'd be a bear that's in shape, lower to the ground, with a mane, but just even stronger
than
a lion.
Nothing but pure ferociousness.
Yeah, it'd just be ready to rip.
It'd be the ultimate killer.
I think I would... My combination would be, ooh, I think mine would actually be a dolphin and an eagle. So it can live in the water and attack prey that it needs in the water, but it can also jump out of the water and fly and pick off fish from the ground. So it'd be like a dolphin with wings and legs, talons. So it could, like, walk on land, because dolphins can also breathe.
Yeah, they're mammals.
So it could stay on land for a period, like a long, long period of time, and walk around amongst the land.
So would it just be like the shape of a dolphin, and maybe have feathers on it and some wings, and that's it?
And legs. But it would also have legs. It would have the legs of a eagle.
That's going to be a fucked up looking creature.
And I'd say it'd be like the size of an eagle, though.
Okay, so it's not the size.
I'd put them in between. I'd say it'd be about standing on its legs. I'd give it 3 foot tall.
Okay.
Lengthwise, I'd give it about
4 feet, 5 feet.
Yeah, 4 or 5. Yeah, something like
just
that.
Just all fully winged out.
Yeah, because what do you think a dolphin's average size is? Like 6 foot, 7 foot?
Yeah, maybe around there.
Somewhere right there. And an eagle is probably between 2 and 4. So yeah, I'd say somewhere between 5 and 6 feet long.
Yeah. Standing about 3 foot tall.
Yeah, standing about 3 foot tall.
That's crazy. Mini dolphin eagle. And I got a bear lion.
Who do you think would win in a fight?
My bear lion would fuck that thing.
It can fly, though.
That's fine. If it gets anywhere near it, though, it's dead. And bears and lions can climb trees.
Yeah, but mine's a bird. It can go way above trees.
Yeah, but that's fine. I can still...
And it can go in water. Mine could just go hang out underwater for a while.
Yeah, but that's not beating in a fight. It's hiding like a bitch dolphin.
Hey, you gotta do what you gotta do to survive.
Yeah, well, my guy will survive, too, by just being the most ferocious creature ever thought of. The last thing that I got here would be you need $10,000 by tomorrow, and there's no banks. How are you getting the money? Which I thought this one was kind of shit, because I just got $10,000.
Yeah,
I don't need to fucking do that. But if I really needed to, I'd probably just sell a car.
Yeah, sell a car.
But if we do this, spin it hypothetically, we don't have $10,000. We need to pay up by tomorrow. What are you doing to get the money?
And you can't rob a bank.
Can't rob a bank.
Can you rob a convenience store?
Like, that's what I was thinking. There'd just be other places you could try to rob to get
the
money.
Or is it saying you can't rob, period?
It doesn't say that. It just says there are no banks.
Okay. Well, then yeah, I would rob convenience stores, or I would go to the casino and I'd just try and win 10 grand.
That's wild. I might just think of a like really rich person and try to take some of their shit.
Ooh, you could try and bribe someone. I could go fuck Tom Brady and then tell him I'm going to tell everyone.
And then they got to pay me to keep people from thinking that I fucked them because they're the GOAT.
Uh-huh.
So that's what you do. You somehow create a rumor that's public knowledge that you and Tom Brady and Michael Jordan had a threesome, and then they both got to pay you to keep quiet.
Well, me, Tom Brady, and Michael Jordan did have a threesome. Oh, I'm probably not supposed to tell people.
I need as many people out there to spread that rumor as we can.
Yeah.
And then maybe we can get some money and we'll have a more badass podcast.
Yeah. We'll have real good equipment then. We'll buy more equipment.
We'll buy even more equipment. The other section that I had here, I mentioned at the beginning, was called Shower Talks. And this was a subreddit that I found the other day.
Shower
that was
thoughts.
Really good. Shower thoughts. Like just, you know, things you think of while you're taking a shower. That's where a lot of people do their best thinking. And I was just going to kind of throw this at the end before we get into the beer review. Just some fun little things to make you think. At the age of 60 years old, Snoop Dogg will be 420 in dog years.
Wow.
Relevant.
Yeah, he smokes a lot of weed.
Yeah. The more we play the song Miss Jackson, the closer Andre 3000 gets to apologizing a trillion times.
Dude, I wonder, it's probably past a trillion.
You think the amount of plays, I wonder if you get on Spotify and find out how long that song's played and then find out how many times he apologizes in a song and then multiply them to see if it's anywhere close to a trillion.
Because a
trillion's a lot.
Yeah, because like they say like a million.
Like the concept difference between a million and a billion and a trillion, people don't realize.
Because like, how much yeah, I know. I saw that the other day. It's like $1 million is like you have a lot of money, but $1 billion, you would have to spend $1 million every day for like 37 years.
Well, they went into seconds at one point, and it said a million seconds is about 11.3 years. 11 billion seconds is like 370 years.
Holy fuck.
So
a trillion would be like 300.
Millions of years.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So it's crazy how much it jumps between a million, a billion, a trillion. The other ones we got on here, if you go to bed naked, you're basically just wearing your bed to sleep.
And that's my favorite outfit.
Yeah, for sure. There are two ways to abbreviate it is not. It's not. And it isn't.
That's just fun. That's just common knowledge.
Well, I mean, I feel like people are probably like they do one or the other. I would say it's not. I wouldn't say it isn't.
I say it isn't.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd be like, it's not like that. You would say it isn't like that?
No. See, I use them both.
Really?
Yeah. I would say it's not like that.
No, I probably would too, because I'd say, nah, it's not like that. But I would say, no, it isn't.
Yeah. That's what I was about to say.
It just depends on
how
it flows. So, let's see what else we got here. No matter how much you've slept, if you wake up 5 minutes before your alarm, it makes you feel like you've been cheated out of the entire night's sleep.
Not for me.
No?
No. If I wake up before my alarm, I'm actually excited because then I beat my biological clock, beat time.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it.
And me too, because then I actually like it. When I wake up a couple times throughout the night, I know a lot of people are like, oh, I want like a good night's rest.
But you get to look
but
over and
I
see
look at
time.
It and be like, dude, I get to sleep for 2 more hours. Fuck yes. And then yep. I roll over. Because I don't sleep that much as it is. I usually go to sleep around like 11:30. I have to wake up at 4.
Yeah, that's normally what I do.
If your dog hit a social media, it would usually be consistent of, oh my God, they came home again. Everything's okay.
If your dog hit a social media account, they're overlooking the crazy part of this. If your dog had a social media account, your dog could talk.
Yeah. And that's wild. I would be cool with if your dogs couldn't talk, but they could just text you.
Yeah, I'd be awesome. That'd be
just
awesome.
So I can ask how they were. If every step we took left a glowing footprint and it was permanent, it'd be pretty cool to see where on earth nobody has ever walked.
Yeah, I think it'd just be like a lot of mountains and stuff and in water.
But what if there were like literally spots in my house where just my foot hasn't touched yet? Because this was a new house when I moved into it.
So it's just... the fact that you haven't been over every square inch of your house. No ceilings would really have footprints.
No, you'd have to just go up and touch it. Like, but I would find an area where nobody's been and just, like, rub my hand on it and be like, gay.
But no, it's footsteps.
It's only footsteps?
Yeah.
If every step we took, then I'd just walk it out on there.
Walk it out?
Yeah.
You'd walk it out?
I feel like anywhere somebody has been, glowing footprint. Because after a while, you wouldn't even see footprints anymore in big areas.
Yeah, it'd just be a
glowing blob.
Yeah.
If Apple made televisions, they'd have no buttons, and you would have to buy a new remote every 2 years, which I feel like that's just a shot in Amazon, that or Apple. That's not even just that good of a thought.
Yeah, that's not even a
thought. Whoever thought that in the shower needs to get a life. If you order a cardboard box off of Amazon, you'll be getting a buy one, get one free.
I wonder if anyone's ever actually done that, like if they were trying to move and they just ordered multiple boxes.
I usually just order mine off the post office website because they're free.
I normally just go out to the dumpster.
I've done that too.
And I just find like boxes.
Behind grocery stores.
Yeah.
You never appreciate the light on your refrigerator until it's gone out, which is true because I've had it where the light goes out and it's a pain in the ass to see what's in your
fridge. You ever have it where you put something in there and it hits the little switch that turns the light off and then you open your fridge and it's off and you think your light's off until one day it moves and your light's back on and you realize that you're just like, a fucking idiot.
My button was just jammed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I've done that.
I've felt those feels. When you're mowing your overgrown lawn, it must be like Armageddon to the grasshoppers and moss. And I literally think that every time I mow the lawn and I'm just like, I am your God, feel my wrath.
Well, I got a story to add to this.
Okay.
Do you remember this? Story I'm about to get into?
I don't know, because you haven't given me any information.
It's mowing the lawn. Okay. When I lived here, I mowed the lawn one time, and it became Armageddon for a couple of bunny rabbits.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
I did not know they were there. The grass was pretty tall, and I was going over it.
All of a sudden,
the lawnmower goes, goo, 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 and I slowed down. Well, I probably shouldn't have slowed down.
And I just parked it.
I just parked it on a little group of bunnies. And that's when I just started seeing blood and shit splatter. And I was like, oh my God. And I moved it real fast.
It turned out you ran over the neighbor child.
Turned out I ran over a small child.
Fuck.
No, it was two bunny rabbits that I ran over. Two of them survived. There were four in total. But I definitely... definitely chop some bunnies up.
It was Bunnygeddon.
Yep, Bunnygeddon.
Nowadays, PS is just an old school way of saying, by the way.
That's just factual.
Just factual. When you're a pessimist, you're either right or you're pleasantly surprised, which I feel like is how you live your day.
Yeah, it is how. Yeah. But I got something to go back on that PS. What does PS stand for?
I used to know what it meant, but I never say PS, so I don't really know what it means. Post something. Why don't you read this next one for us and I'll look it up.
Chili's always served hot and hot fudge sundaes are always mostly cold.
Interesting.
I'm actually going to start calling it hottie and...
Hot fudge coldies.
Yeah, hot fudge coldies.
Can I get a hot fudge frozy?
Yeah, they'll know what you're talking about.
For sure. PS stands for post scriptum. If you're talking about PS when using writing, It stands for postscriptum, from the Latin postscriptum, meaning written after. Makes sense.
Huh.
Something you write after you've written things. Wouldn't every word you write be a postscriptum of the previous word?
Yeah. After you get a vasectomy, are you postscrotum?
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
And then if you grow a scrotum back, it would be your PSS, post. The only reason white shirts look professional is that it shows you're responsible enough to keep it from getting dirty.
Yeah, I actually don't wear white shirts for that reason.
I seldom do.
I think I have two shirts that are white, and I think I've worn them both maybe once, and then I just keep them
in
the closet.
Not a big white t-shirt guy. Batman, as we all know, patrols Gotham looking for criminals. However, it's in his unregistered, uninsured vehicle with no plates and no emission certificate. So
he's really just breaking a shit ton of laws.
Yeah. Which, speaking of the uninsured, life insurance is really just a bounty that you place on your own head. So you're basically saying this is how much I feel like I'm worth.
Huh.
And the last one I got on here is the old you is actually the young you.
So when you look back at your past time...
It's when you're younger, but you say that's the old me. No, that's the young you. Now it's
the older you.
It's the older you, but then every second, like now I'm the... Now I'm me, but in like 10 minutes I'll be the old me, and then when I'm there, the old me will be the young me. Ugh. This got really complicated.
I don't like that. I don't like this segment.
Well, I just threw it out there. Next segment we know you'll like, which is our beer review, so we're going to go ahead and jump into that to close things out. I'm not made for paving long roads. I ain't cut out to climb highline poles, but I'm pretty good at drinking beer. Okay, so today's beer review, as always, is brought to you by Barrels Bar and Grill in O'Fallon, Missouri, at the corner of Highway N and Highway K in O'Fallon, Missouri. They have 109 beers on tap, awesome food, amazing people, and it's just an all-around good time. Come in and enjoy some Sunday football. They got some amazing specials for the guys and the gals who get drug along the way. Today's beer is another one brought to you by 4204 Brewing Company out of Main Street, Illinois. And it is called Off Duty.
It's actually in Belleville, Illinois. It's Main Street 4204 Brewing Company. That's the full name of the brewing company.
Main Street 4204 Brewing Company out of Belleville, Illinois.
Correct.
And this beer is Off Duty American Lager, serving those who serve it. And I thought this was a pretty cool beer because on the side they have a little side note saying that 4204 supports the men and women who give much to their communities, and portion of proceeds of the off-duty lager will go directly to nonprofits supporting our first responders. So it is an American beer.
This is the coolest can we've had by far. The entire can is an American flag, but it's made to look like it's made out of metal.
Yeah, and it's got the logos for a police, fire, and ambulance force.
Yeah. It's a 4.2% alcohol percentage in a beer. I would actually say this tastes like any domestic standard beer.
Yeah, it's kind of just your normal guy's beer.
Mm-hmm. I would compare it a lot to Krafttig, actually.
Yeah.
If you've ever had Krafttig, maybe we'll do a review on Krafttig eventually. But no, I think this is the most appealing can. When I saw it, I didn't even realize it was of a company we'd done before. I didn't realize it was Main Street 4204 Brewing Company's beer. I saw the American flag on the beer, and I was like, oh, American, I want to try that. And then I got the beer, and I didn't actually read it until I got here that it actually, they give some of the proceeds for every time this is bought to the first responders.
So shout out to us for helping those who serve. Thank you for your service.
Yeah, so we're helping the first responders. The beer's all right. The can's amazing. If I could, I'm only going to do my judging based off of the taste. Okay. Because the fact that they give back to the first responders makes me want to bump them up.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give it what I actually think the taste is. So
if we were going by cans and stuff, I would give them basically an extra 2 or 3 points on top of
what. Yeah, if I went by like appeal and look, taste, and what it's doing, I'd probably give it like a 7.
Yeah.
But I'm going taste alone, and I'm going to give it a 5.3
out of 10. 5.3 out of
10. It's like right among in the middle of the mills, like what I would give like a domestic beer. Domestics I would normally put between 3 and 4, but this one's a little bit better than those. So I'm saying it's a 5.3.
I'm going to go with a 5.5, kind of like you said. Tastes like your typical domestic. It does have a good flavor. I would drink this out and about or take it to a party or something like that, especially like you said, knowing that it supports
the first responders. And you know people are going to question you what you're drinking because it's a very bright can.
Oh, yeah. It's very, I mean, people are going to notice it when it's in your hand. So 5.3 and a 5.5 coming to an average score of 5.4.
Yeah.
So we will throw that up on the Instagram if people want to see what the can looks like and check it out. If you think it's a beer you want to try, be sure and check it out. And we hope you guys enjoyed this one. Thanks to our awesome sponsors and to you amazing listeners. As always, we'll see you later.
Yay! Inside the pocket of a clown. It is a sad place to hang around. Just watching smiles turn into frowns.